This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time.
Welcome back, OBMM family.
What up, witches?
Okay, sorry. Look, she's like snuggling the tarot cards.
Aw.
Cutest.
She's infusing them with her energy.
Telluride is helping us draw a card yet again. Hi. What the heck is happening? What are you drinking?
I am drinking, because I'm just sinking into the fall vibes per the usual, and it's morning. Again, we're breaking down the fourth wall. I am drinking a lovely chai latte that I made myself.
Mushroom cup is so cute.
It's a mushroom cup that has mushrooms in it because it's like one of those like mushroom elixir chai blend things.
Cute.
So
I love
not
that.
Real mushrooms, unfortunately. I know we're in Colorado and the state lets those things happen.
Sad days.
It's the best day ever, just saying.
Seriously. Actually it would. But Big Pharma also pays my paycheck, so I'm not going to go on my anti-Big Pharma rant this morning. Actually,
what are you drinking?
My God. Okay, so I just chose violence this morning.
Ooh, okay. I'm here for it. It is only 9 a.m. Well, it's 8 a.m. your time, so if you're already choosing.
That makes this worse. It's 8 a.m. where I am. I have not had a coffee yet. I was going to make a coffee, and then I was like, you've had coffee like for most of these episodes so far. And I opened a really nice bottle of Prosecco yesterday, and I still had like half of it in the fridge. So I was going to make mimosas, but it's really nice Prosecco. So I'm just drinking a giant cup of the second half of my bottle of leftover.
Wait, are you feeling like if you add orange juice to it, that's ruining the quality of your Prosecco?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would.
I didn't realize I was always being so ratchet by
mimosa. This is maybe the best Prosecco I've ever had. And I don't know if the man at Trader Joe's who helped me pick this one.
Oh, it makes sense. It's Trader Joe's.
It's not a Trader Joe's brand, but the Trader Joe's here has a big wine selection. And I was just kind of standing in front of the sparkling wines, as one does. And the guy came over and he's like, you celebrating something? And I was like, I'm looking for a bubble bath wine.
Ooh, that's a good, I'm going to use that.
I'm like, I need something like refreshing, not overly dry though, because you're already like hot and crispy. Right. So it had to be a good balance. And he like stood there for a while and we debated a couple different ones. And then he finally recommended this one, which was like a $30 bottle. So good job at your job, man. It's fine. I don't know why I'm acting like that's the end.
Well, that's actually good to know that when you pay more money for Prosecco, that it's like a good thing, because I can't tell the difference between $2 wine and $200 wine on the regular.
I can now. I didn't used to be able to. I did a lot of wine tasting in South Africa. I drank more wine than I drank in my whole entire life. in the couple of months I was living in South Africa. And
that does not sound like a bad thing, though.
It was not. We that just had different wine tours every weekend. Because you go, yeah, wine excellent. Tours are not expensive. Buying bottles of wine is. But if you want to go do like a sample flight, nobody is going to force you to spit it out. Nobody. So me and my cheap lawyer friends, because I was living with lawyers at the time, would go and pay like $20 for the tasting flight. And then you essentially get like a glass and a half of wine by the end of it.
Okay.
If you sample enough. And then we would usually like buy a glass of wine. Like we are not who wine tastings were meant for, because we're not buying bottles and leaving. We're like, oh, I liked this one. I'll have another one of those. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're drinking Prosecco because I wasn't in charge of researching this one. So I thought we could just get weird, but because my energy is a little unhinged, everything is retrograde right now at the time of
it remote. Literally is like every possible planet and feels like it's a retrograde.
In honor of recent events, I'm drinking Prosecco for breakfast, and we're pulling a card from our Britney Spears Oracle deck.
I didn't even know you had a Britney Spears Oracle deck. That's amazing.
This was a moving gift from a friend. So I didn't have excellent. A Britney Spears Oracle until recently. And you know what, Britney?
Why have we not been dragged for this the whole time?
I know. She's about to be a free woman again. Everybody, yes. Just like literally leave Britney alone, please.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. You want to pick a Britney Spears card? Joyride is the unofficial sponsor.
Oh, did she choose well?
She did. Hi, do you want to see it? Oh my God, look at this cat. I can't. This is what our YouTube channel will be. It'll just be rubbing her face.
She's like snuggling the tarot card. She's so cute.
Rubbing her face all over cards. Okay. The card we have pulled today, witches, is the living legend.
Okay. I'm here for this.
She's in that hot sequined red bikini, red choker, chain, like beads everywhere. Iconic vibes. Sparkly Dorothy shoes. Perfect hair. The living legend. Let's do it. What does she represent for us today? I love this deck so much. I don't know where anything is in this guidebook either.
That's okay. That's part of the unhingedness that we are embracing.
I just looked at the beginning. It said page 39. Oh, it's on page like 71. Wondering why I could find it. Okay, the living legend. Boom. Here we go. Oh, yeah. So this is Britney at the Billboard Music Awards in 2016. If you don't remember this outfit, Google it.
You live under a rock.
Britney was honored by the Billboard Music Awards in 2016 and took the stage in a showgirl-style red feathered bikini to perform a medley of her most iconic hits, which span decades. Britney has been has referred to herself in a song as a living legend, and nothing could be more true. After all, she changed the pop landscape forever. From Slave for You to Womanizer to The Lights of Las Vegas, Britney has done it all and influenced and inspired generations of pop stars to come. The living legend in all her glory is a symbol of celebration and acknowledging your many fabulous achievements.
Queen. She's a queen.
Queen energy. Own your shit this week.
Yes.
And take no shit this week. That is the message.
All right. Well, I'm definitely going to journal on that later. It's Sunday's journal day for the week.
Hell yes.
I'm bringing that energy with me.
I love it. Ooh, are we doing a... Yes, we are doing. Friendly reminder. If you'd like to keep up with your weekly workings with us, you have to be following Instagram. Us on Instagram and TikTok so you see when we post them and what we're talking about. So the conversations not only get bigger on the internet of friendship, they also...
You're like, friendship.
Like I committed to more words than I wanted to. It's like not only a continued conversation, it's a whole different conversation. You're getting
different from twice, the episode.
Twice the Ouija boards and the Nightmarks vibes if you're on Instagram following the weekly workings. So consider how Britney can show up in your weekly working this week.
We're committing.
I don't know. Go check it out.
Yeah, and we're committing to shit posting so much more often this season. So we're sharing all the excellent memes.
Yes.
So it's just it's an enjoyable experience all the way around.
Yeah, we're fun on Instagram. Come hang out.
Yeah.
Who all are right. we talking about today? What's happening?
So we are talking about the Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks.
I love this. I didn't know Red Rocks had a Hatchet Lady. I didn't either,
which is like disturbing for how often I've been there to think that there's possibly a Hatchet Lady.
That I lived 15 minutes away from it for 10 years.
Never got slashed.
I've been there multiple times, never even heard this story. So, Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks, we are here to bring you back from the grave. So that your story can be told and heard. Because yes. If other clowns like us didn't know.
Right. Well, and to be fair, 9 out of 10 people that reside in Colorado currently are not from Colorado, right? That's so true. I think if you grew up in like the Morrison Golden area, this is a quite common story. But for us transplants, it is not. So I'm excited to dive in. Also, I feel like we should start off by talking a little bit about the history of Red Rocks, because it is such an iconic place. I guarantee you that if you have a favorite artist that you follow, they aspire to play at Red Rocks, because it's just this place that's just absolutely gorgeous. It's a really transcendent experience to be there. It's just one of those that if you're in Colorado, you have to experience a Red Rocks show. Like, it's just, it's a thing. If you don't, it's so devastating. But
you don't, you're a loser. Ooh, okay, wait. What's your most memorable Red Rocks show?
So this is where I feel
your most memorable, privileged. Not like favorite person you've seen there.
Right. So this is where I feel actually very privileged, but it was the first show I ever went to at Red Rocks is my most memorable.
Really?
Yeah, because I went and saw Dispatch, which, like, if you have not listened to Dispatch, you live under a rock. They're the best indie band ever. Just saying, I'm making that claim. Anyhow, it was our very first show. We'd never been. We always heard the hype around Red Rocks. We were excited to go. It was a week before our wedding, so that's why this plays into this. So it was a week before the wedding. We already had tickets, but I saw on Facebook, which I never, ever engage with these kinds of things, but this happened to work out in my favor. But it was one of those Facebook advertisements where it's like, hey, tell us like a random comment in the comments below and we'll pick two random winners to actually meet Dispatch backstage and we'll upgrade your tickets and blah, blah, blah. And so I pulled my wedding card. I was like, Dispatch, this is a week before our wedding. This is our first ever show. Please, please pick us. And we actually got selected, which I never win anything. So that was cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we actually got to meet Dispatch behind the stage. So we got to go down into the basement where it's like definitely haunted. Also, I've heard from many, not that I've heard personally, but artists talk about it a lot.
Everyone's told me.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, up there. So everyone knows. But anyway, we got to see Dispatch and they upgraded our tickets, which we actually didn't know about until we got there. So we were basically like front row at Red Rocks. And it was also kind of funny because it was the remnants of Hurricane Harvey came over Morrison at that time. So like halfway through the show, it was like an absolute flash flood downpour. But it was so fun still that we weren't even upset about it. So
that's a good one. That's
yeah, really pretty cool memorable.
Story. I love that.
What about you? What's your most memorable?
Most memorable. We saw Florence in like February.
I remember that one.
February of 2021. It was like one of the first shows of the season.
Like post-COVID.
We were wearing snow pants. Like it was supposed to be cold as shit. The picture of Brandon and I, the one selfie we took is like full like ski gear. I have a scarf wrapped all the way up above my nose. So it's
that is dedication. I've never been to Red Rocks in the winter.
Oh, there were people like cute little fairy girls all over the place. And I was like, God, I love your commitment. And you all are so fucking cute. But it is so cold. Florence played barefoot in February. At one point, somebody like threw gloves on the stage. She was wearing this man's like gigantic snowmobile gloves because she couldn't like hold the
mic. Wait, like she was actually barefoot? I thought you said, like, I was thinking you said a song called Barefoot.
No.
Oh my gosh. Barefoot. That's insane.
Not wearing shoes because that's just how Florence performs. Her hands got so cold at one point that somebody literally threw like hand warmers and gloves on the stage. And
they're so, like, honey, like, please.
In this like whimsical, gauzy thing with like giant snowmobile gloves. Oh. And then she did finally at like the middle of the show, she did go and get a coat because it was like
still no shoes.
Yeah, because it was snowing while we were there too. Like it wasn't just cold, it was like snowing on everyone. So totally magical experience. It was phenomenal. It was also my introduction to Christine and the Queens, and if you follow me on Instagram, you know how hard I simp for him. So that was amazing. I like sobbed the entire opening act. Because that's just what I do when I watch queer artists perform, no matter what, always.
If you especially bring a place like Red Rock,
I will
right?
cry. And then Brandon the whole time is like, what is happening? And I was like, I'm like, this is my new person.
You're like, just let me have this.
I'm in love with this person now. Yeah. and it was great. And it was so magical. So nobody got hatcheted, though. Bring it back. Bring it back to the Bachelor Lady.
So Red Rocks, hire us for your PR, because obviously we can talk about you all day. But
yeah, like they
anyway, can. where did Red Rocks come from? So as we've mentioned, it's located outside of Denver. It's west of Denver near the town of Morrison, Colorado. And it's nestled in an actual park. So there's 860 acres that make up Red Rocks Park, which is actually part of the broader Denver Mountain Park system. And the amphitheater itself stands 6,450 feet above sea level. So if you have never been to altitude, keep that in mind if you're coming to visit our lovely state, which also is like very impressive for performers that are not from Colorado, right? Like, that's some elevation. You gotta have.
I think about that when people come to play sports in Denver too.
Yeah,
got like a Florida sports team.
It's our home field advantage. You have thinner air here.
That's the University of tangents all over the place today. The University
that's
of
our unhinged energy
in Laramie has the highest football stadium in the United States, like altitude wise.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, so
if you think of Laramie, it's like flat as all get out.
Yeah, but it's literally on top of mountains.
Wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway,
UW fans, that one's for you.
So the amphitheater rests between two large walls of sandstone, which this will come in to be important later, that are 300 feet tall, named Ship Rock and Creation Rock. And that's like part of the transcendent experience, right? It's like you're just nestled in between these giant ancient rock formations. Again, Red Rocks, hire us.
It's a vibe.
Long before the park, it was a place where humans have lived in connection and stewardship with this land for thousands of years by the Ute people, who use Red Rocks as a sacred site and a gathering spot for music. So it's always been a place that's known for having a connection to music, which I find to be extremely beautiful.
I love that.
In 1872, Marion Birtz was the first person recorded as owning Red Rocks, calling it the Garden of the Angels.
Marion, or a boy Marion?
I'm assuming a man, because it was 1872.
I just got really excited because the only Marions I know are girls. And I was like, in 1872?
I know, I wish. We can dream. But no. But in 1878, Birtz sold Red Rocks to Leonard H. Eicholtz, I think is how you say his name, who was a railroad construction engineer from Pennsylvania who actually developed the Red Rocks Park. And then in 1905, Eicholtz sold the land to John Brisbane Walker, who is going to be an important character later on, who renamed it Garden of the Titans.
I mean, calm down. You're right. A man definitely owned it.
And he further developed the park and eventually the amphitheater and a wooden stage that was the original bowl of the amphitheater we know today. Also, just as a side note, we love our men. We just like to joke about you a lot on this podcast. So,
okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking about that yesterday, actually, when you told me.
I know, I was like, everyone probably thinks we just absolutely hate men. We don't.
No, when you told us about new people who were listening to it, and it happens to be a lovely collection of gentlemen, which is great. I'm happy to have you here. Shayla and I were talking about like your non-negotiables for podcast network joining, right? And like, obviously we need to be able to swear.
Right.
If we were to ever join somebody else's umbrella, but I was thinking about it a lot after we had that conversation yesterday. And I was like, I need to stop shitting on men so much. But I just can't help it, guys. You make it so easy sometimes. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. Like, patriarchy, we love you. We have to live in the system. Reality is,
the people who are not the problem understand this.
Exactly. Right? You know who you are.
If you're listening to this, you're not offended when I go on my tangents, hopefully.
Yeah, we love a self-aware man.
It's fine. We're all going to be okay, I promise.
Anywho, there's another side note for you.
Sorry.
But Garden of the Titans, which does deserve some shit talking. But this is where the park was further developed, and eventually the amphitheater and the original wooden stage that would become the bowl of the amphitheater we know today. After experiencing some financial struggles, however, Walker sold a portion of the parks to the Red Rocks Corporation, which was an enterprise managed by a man named John Ross, who ultimately donated 530 acres to the city and county of Denver. By 1932, after making additional purchases, the city and county of Denver owned an additional 690 acres. Interestingly enough, this is not like I should know this because like literally my uncle and I over 4th of July were making jokes about how literally everything is built by the Civilian Conservation Corps, but I still didn't expect this. The actual construction of the amphitheater began in 1936 and was completed by the Civilian Conservation Corps, which say that 10 times fast. Oh my God.
I mean, as a Forest Service kid, I obviously
I know.
Like,
I shouldn't have
mad respect for the CCC. Like, yeah. Fucking crushing it. And I have friends who like work for whatever offshoots of them exist today.
Yeah.
Too. Like,
absolutely.
You guys are doing the work.
Good job, FDR, and your New Deal.
Good job, FDR. See, we're not always harping on men. We just congratulated an old white one. God, we're the worst. Continue.
Funny. Anyway, so the Red Rocks Amphitheater turned out to be one of the most complex structures the CCC has ever built.
Really?
Just engineering wise and whatnot, because it's like a tilted stage built into a mountain in between rocks.
Yeah, so, all those stairs.
Yeah. Red Rocks held a soft opening on June 8th, 1941, where the Junior Orchestra of the Denver Symphony Society performed.
That's so cute. A soft
opening. I know.
Would never be just like kids playing their instruments poorly anymore.
Yeah. And so the like person of honor was like the fire chief, which I just think is really cute too.
We have small town roots. Like my small town kink cannot be understated. When you look at my Kindle library, I'm like, you're disgusting. Stop reading these. You've lived it for real. It's never like this,
right? Seriously, never.
But I do. Like, I have a lot of small town love, so I'm sorry.
I mean, as the person who married the person,
I'm drinking
from a small
thing
town
of Prosecco today, you guys. I'm really. I apologize deeply.
The official opening of the public for Red Rocks happened on June 15th, 1941, with a performance of Ave Maria, which I cannot hear that song without thinking about Will Ferrell.
I can just hear Ave Maria in Red Rocks, though. Like, that's
honestly, I was thinking about that.
You
like,
can
the reverberation.
Really imagine that.
Yeah. Like, the reverberation would be amazing. But it was Helen Jepsen of New York's Metropolitan Opera who sang that for the first time at Red Rocks.
That's so cool. I mean, if you're going to like test out the acoustics of a place,
opera, right?
Opera is the only way to do it.
Yeah. So since the first opening, a slew of incredible artists have performed here, including Louis Armstrong, Ray Charles, Ella Fitzgerald, Journey, The Grateful Dead, obviously.
The Bon Jovi, obviously.
Yeah. Norah Jones and even our queen, Stevie Nicks, which like she just performed like what, 2 years ago, and I didn't buy tickets and I'll forever regret that.
Yeah, we didn't either. Ever. Brandon like gives himself 40 lashes for that every night.
Literally. Yeah, we deserve that.
Fine, it's fine, we'll be okay.
But yes, the most
okay sidebar, I will cut this out later, but Brandon's like just discovered Taylor Swift, like it's just happened, which is great. I love it. I'm not mad about it, but it's really cute. Continue. We just got a new record player, and that was like the first thing he bought all of, and I was like, this is ideal.
Yeah,
but
that's
also,
pretty, that's nice.
To be fair, not to be fair to John Mayer, because I would never, but I would, because one of the best shows that I have ever seen in my whole entire life was Dead & Co.
Oh, I could see that.
Like that man, I understand why he leaves such a trail of broken hearts behind him.
Right.
Because, like, if you just
honestly, as an artist, he's very good. I have to give it to him.
Watch him play the guitar and watch his fingers, and you're like, oh, I get it. I get it.
Fair enough.
Sorry. Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks. Let's go.
But yes, as you said, the most famous band that has played there was the Beatles, and they performed at Red Rocks on August 26th, 1964, which like...
Oh, sorry, I stole your lead.
I can't imagine seeing the Beatles at Red Rocks. Like
Beatles at Red Rocks? That would be so fun.
I would never recover. Like, you know how I've been like making the Ed Sheeran concert my whole identity? It would be like unbearable, next level unbearable if I saw Beatles at Red Rocks. Like, I would never shut up about it. It'd be a daily conversation.
See, I'm like, I love the Beatles. I do. But my like Beatles equivalent would be Elvis probably, which is gross. Like, I get it. Like, Elvis has always been a problematic fave of mine. And I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Again, separating the art from the artist, right?
Okay. See, I'm a huge hypocrite here because I believe in it in some circumstances. And in others, I really don't. i.e. like, guys, stop spending money on Harry Potter shit. Like, stop. Stop it. Okay. Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks. Continue.
All right. So before we talk about the Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks, though, we have to talk about paranormal energy at Red Rocks.
Yes, please.
Because this was another thing that I didn't realize is a thing, that there's so much paranormal energy at Red Rocks. But this makes sense, though, because the Red Rocks formations in the amphitheater and the park are similar to those found in Sedona, Arizona, right? Those big, massive Red Rocks.
I'm really close to that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was excited to tell you about this. And in Sedona, it's widely known for being a vortex, right? Where the Earth's energy tends to be really concentrated and it's like crackling, and it helps invoke self-healing and spiritual awakening.
I will not get you off track again after this. I promise.
I don't believe you.
But is it possible my finally agreeing to move to Arizona and all the extra alien / paranormal activity that happens here?
Mm-hmm. Because it's a vortex.
I probably didn't make this decision, and I'm probably going to get kidnapped. Right?
It's possible. It's gonna happen now. You think about the law of attraction. You've very much been attracting alien abduction for a while now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm the worst.
Hey, lovely listeners. Are you as obsessed with my co-host as I am? Who am I kidding? Of course you are. So for even more herbal goodness, make sure you're following thinningofthevale.apothecary on Instagram and check out Shale's website at thinningofthevaleapothecary.com. Here you'll find her gorgeous blog, herbal offerings, consultation information, and a beautiful community that grows bigger every day. You don't want to miss this journey. And thank you so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. See you online.
Why is it considered a vortex?
So it's just a place where I think the Red Rock formation tends to like help compound the energy, but they're also just places in the earth where the energy is really concentrated.
Okay.
So and people,
like the minerals, like the vibration of the rocks themselves
too. Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with like ley lines and stuff like that, which I don't think really applies to Red Rocks itself, the amphitheater, but in Sedona, it's like the rock formations plus ley lines plus alien abductions. It's just a thing.
I wish I could afford a house there.
Right? But yeah, so this type of energy can help invoke self-healing and spiritual awakening. You see people flock to places like Sedona all of the time. But Red Rocks is believed to have similar vortex energy that contributes to paranormal activity. But this is compounded by the fact that it's a transitional zone where the Great Plains meet the Rocky Mountains. So it's like a liminal space too.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I love this. I'm like already trying to go through my Rolodex of Red Rocks experiences.
Right.
Of like what creepy things have happened to me here.
Yeah. And according to vortexhunters.com, which is a website I'm definitely going to dive into a lot more.
Credible for sure.
Absolutely. Vortex reports at Red Rocks range from UFOs to paranormal sightings. So you still have an opportunity at Red Rocks, Cheyenne.
Hot aliens. It's going to happen for me. I just know it.
Literally, you're going to go missing and I'll be like, not even phased.
You're like oh, it was hot aliens. It's life. Fine. If she wanted us to find her, she would find a way.
Right. Exactly.
Think this Leo Moon can get kidnapped? It cannot. Not unwillingly.
So continuing with the paranormal energy. Unbeknownst to many, there's actually a cemetery located at the base of Red Rocks concert venue with graves dating back to the 1800s.
This I did know. I do like to go sit at that spot with
Will. I actually didn't know about it. So that's super exciting because I want to visit it. But it's a claim to be riddled with supernatural energy, with visitors claiming to feel ghostly presences immediately upon stepping into the cemetery. So I'm curious what your experience is like. Have you also experienced something similar?
Yeah, it's funny because so there's that little cemetery and then there's also one of my favorite little hikes that's super accessible and close to Denver is Matthew Winters Park, which is the turn right before Red Rocks.
Okay.
And you can actually, what I like about it, the reason I found the Red Rocks Cemetery is actually this other trail because you can walk from Matthew Winters Park all the way to Red Rocks. Like you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 5 miles, maybe. It's not. It's probably like 2 miles.
Relative.
because of like the ups and down things. It's not that far. 5 miles round trip, maybe. But Willie and I would go hike there a lot. And there's another little frontier cemetery at the base of Matthew Winters Park that has like probably 10 headstones. And the energy there is always, it's very different. Like the energy at that one feels a lot older and quieter and more peaceful than like the Red Rocks energy is a little more unsettling, I would say. Like,
yeah,
like I'm sure it's like it a little,
yeah,
bit
I'm sure there's much more like interaction and people going in there and messing around, you know, because it's accessible compared to the other one.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, the other one you have to like hike up to a little bit. It's not far to get up to it, but it is like gated in this little thing. Like you feel, I don't know, that I don't know that I love many feelings more than like that feeling of like opening an old cemetery gate.
Right. Yes. It's you just... make such a good point.
So good.
You just bottle that up.
This Prosecco drink's real easy, guys. I apologize. We have not even talked about the Hatchet Lady yet. I'm going to stop talking. What's happening?
We're almost there. One more thing about paranormal energy, though, is that the Red Rocks Trading Post, which still stands in the park and is commonly passed by on the hike up to the concert. So for those of you who don't know, you have to work for your concert. Like it's a good jaunt up the mountain.
You have to go up the stairs.
Yeah. It's also known to be haunted. Employees have reported seeing, hearing, and feeling paranormal activity, particularly around closing time at night. Reports include doorknobs jiggling and doors opening on their own, merchandise flying across the room or going missing, employees feeling touched or having a hand on their shoulder, cold spots, scratching, and much, much more.
I love that. Oh, our living room lights turned on by themselves yesterday.
Ew.
And Brandon was like, what was that? Did you just see that? What was that? Did you do that?
he's like rationalizing.
He's so scared of this stuff. And I was like, no, they've been on the whole time. Like, dude, this place is so haunted. And I have not met everyone who lives here yet. But just especially this room, which you know because you've been on other Zooms with me. Sorry, that just reminded me of that, though. Of just like, it's always closing time. Like, it's always a specific time of night.
Yeah.
Which makes it, because you think
about it. I like how you just called your house closing time.
I know, right? I feel like I'm on vacation. I feel like I'm living in an Airbnb. I still have not like emotionally accepted that this is my right? forever.
You haven't settled yet.
It has not officially happened in my brain. Oh God, what was the actual point of that? The point of that was that I do know what the point of this was. The point of this was that if you, like, you know, when you hear these scary stories and you're always like, why didn't you move? Like, why are you still working there? It's like, oh, he's worked here for 20 years and he's had 400 million ghost experiences. And you're like, why are you still like upkeeping the landscape at these asylum? Like, what's happening? Why are we still here? But
like, even
I understand it. When you like live in a place and you start like, intentionally inviting different energies,
sure,
or unintentionally inviting different energies. I'm not always great at boundaries, guys, in real life or the spiritual.
You're people pleasing the spiritual world,
literally. I'm like, sure, come in. Oh my god, can I get you something? Would you like some alcohol? I have Prosecco right here.
I got you, whatever you need, spirit world.
But you always think that, right? You're like, why haven't you moved? Like, why haven't you moved your poor children out of this house? Like, we all have that thought when these things happen, right? But there is some sort of like cognitive dissonance separation that happens during the daylight where you're like,
sure. Yeah, obviously.
It's so much easier to brush it off or like laugh it off or be like, okay, ghost, like,
you're funny.
Stop bugging with my lights. And then the second it is dark in here, I'm like, this is a different house. Like, I don't know. I'm figuring it out, but it's just, it's interesting to note because I always think about stuff like that or like people who have businesses in really haunted locations where you're like,
sure,
for the most part, our day goes fine. Like the reason we haven't left is because these like really super scary things that happen only happen like 2% of the time.
So they're like gaslighting you.
And then you like come the next day and you keep working because capitalism. So I just,
right.
That's, I don't know.
I love that you're being gaslit by your ghosts. They're just like, it's not that bad. It's only part of the time. Like you're overreacting.
It's like a little, it's once you turn the galaxy lights on at night, that's like my permission slip to just like fuck with the other shit in your house.
Well, I mean, if I was a ghost, I would take galaxy lights as an invitation to fuck around.
We have a lot of them too. So
yeah, I'm sure you do with your alien obsession. Anyway, Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks, we're finally diving in.
Sorry. Deeply apologize to future me who's going to edit half of this out.
Yes, I was going to say, this is going to be a fun one to edit. Anyhow, so as you know, well, as you will come to find out, we are doing a two-parter. So we are doing an urban legend of Colorado and an urban legend of Arizona, which will be released following this episode. Anywhoozle, this is the urban legend of Colorado we wanted to cover. So as urban legends go, there are several... ways you are out of control. There are several ways.
So sorry. When I say this is easy drinking, I literally mean it's like it does not taste like wine. Like it just tastes like juice.
I'm just glad you're getting your $30 worth. That makes me happy.
It's been a week. I'm living with my regrets. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. We're adults. We can do whatever we want. That's part of it.
Nobody should ever let me make choices for myself, but yes.
So, as urban legends go, there are several ways in which this story is told and some variation in the experiences people claim to have when experiencing her, obviously.
Right.
So, the Hatchet Lady is also known as the Witch of Morrison, and it's believed that the Hatchet Lady of Red Rocks was once a woman known as Mrs. Johnson, who had homesteaded in the area that eventually became Red Rocks. The commonality in every iteration of the story, however, is that she is known to be extremely bitter and angry, often acting hostile towards others.
I love her already.
I know. In one version of her story, she became known as the Hatchet Lady due to the fact that she would pull a coat over her head and wield a hatchet to scare and chase off any potential suitors for her daughters. Queen energy, right? Queen
yes. energy. This is not, I didn't look up her story either.
Right.
Like I had to come into this blind, and that's not where I thought Hatchet Lady was going. I love it.
No, not at all. I thought for sure. And also, like, I can't help but picture, like, the hash-slinging slasher from SpongeBob. Like, that's the image that I have in my mind.
That way, for sure. Oh, that's fantastic.
Sorry to the daughters. Like, if you had a man, I guess you didn't, but mom was like, no.
Not anymore.
Can you imagine, like, you're trying to bring your boyfriend home for dinner and your mom's, like, out there under a coat slinging a hatchet? Like, trauma.
Is it the, like, cultural equivalent of a father, like, polishing a gun?
You make such a good point, though.
Like, are we being sexist in our judgment?
Honestly, thank you. Thank you for that check. I needed that. That's a good point.
My priorities are straight Prosecco or no Prosecco. I got it.
In another story, which is a lot sadder, and I think this is kind of the more commonly known story.
Okay.
It's told that she and her husband were a couple experiencing financial insecurity living outside of Morrison. In this story, she is still known as being mean and a little crazy, but was tending to her husband who was ill. Before her husband's death, they struggled to get by. And after his death, it is said that she lost her home and took up residence in one of the caves that eventually became Red Rocks Park. So that's also a thing, is that there's lots of caves throughout the park. Following the loss of her husband, her mental health declined, and she would be seen wandering the edges of Morrison holding a hatchet to collect firewood, and was said to be regularly muttering to herself. As she grew older, she appeared to grow more hostile towards others, escalating to where she snarled at everyone she saw and lashing out despite not being provoked.
I mean, queen energy.
I know. I was like, if I was to be a feral old lady.
Grief takes different forms.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I feel like people who are carrying hatchets, like, that's not an invitation to approach me.
Obviously, right?
Like, come on. Read the room.
But, like, on a serious note, too, I think this is so interesting when you think about, like, patriarchal culture and, like, how the hag is presented in folklore, right? Like, it's always a woman who was not able to care for herself in a certain way that's, like, acceptable by society, even though she's, like, doing what she can to survive, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's where like that child kidnapping trope comes from too, right? She's like someone who wasn't able to fulfill her womanly role.
Right. But in this story, it's eventually believed that she had died of old age, and it's her spirit that wanders, which I'll get into in just a second. But this last story, which I think is probably my favorite, is that it's also claimed that Mrs. Johnson was someone who was deeply disturbed by the creation of the amphitheater and actually knew Walker as he was creating it. She felt that Walker was a greedy man and disagreed with the idea of a stage being built between the rocks to draw in money. So she had a, yeah, she did not like the idea of a natural, landmark like that that was so sacred and revered being messed with. Which I don't like disagree with that necessarily. Even though I love going to Red Rocks, I get it, right?
Yes.
In this story, Mrs. Johnson would try to sabotage construction efforts by showing up at the site with a coat drawn over her head and swinging her hatchet at the construction workers.
Fuck yes.
And because of her lasting anger at the project, she is believed to haunt the amphitheater seeking revenge.
Okay, I love this. I mean, seeking revenge, did a man write this blog?
I actually don't know on that one.
She's like being villainized already, immediately for that. Like, that's a valid reason to be pissed off. You get to be mad
Right.
about that.
Yeah,
I cannot
exactly.
believe I've never heard this story. I love
I
her so
know.
much.
So the sightings of the Hatchet Lady. So like I mentioned earlier, the Hatchet Lady is a common story amongst teenagers in Golden and in Morrison, with several people having claims of being chased by her after seeking out her grave or wandering the trails of the park near the caves after dark, because I can rhyme. Commonly, when she is sighted, she appears as a hag, hunched over and filthy, with wild knotted hair, bony, like her clothes are kind of raggedy. Yeah, us on a typical Sunday.
Today.
And when she sees you, she moves with incredible speed, which like gives me like,
Ugh,
I know,
gross. Like,
she's
I love you and I'm
yelling.
on your side, but please don't.
I know, right? So she moves with incredible speed, yelling and gnashing her teeth with a hatchet in hand. People claim that she chases them to their car, but eventually disappears, which very urban legendy, right? Additionally, she is said to be a fierce protector of the Red Rocks and appears to those who she feels are being disrespectful, which are most often young lovers who are making out in their car, And she tends to also show up to people who are hotboxing, which I find very interesting. She finds that ultimately super disrespectful. So don't go hotbox at Red Rocks. And so in these stories, she often shows up outside of the car wielding an axe to scare you away.
That would be terrifying, though, to be like
Or,
making out at Red Rocks.
right, dude, which again, that's such a
And you just
common
look up and
trope,
there's Hatchet.
right? Can you imagine? But that's such a common trope with like urban legends, right? It's all about like Lover's Lane, and that's where the hook man shows up, or like the creepy lady who like died on the corner. It's such a common
I mean,
thing.
she was chasing her daughter's suitors away, allegedly, right?
Right.
So this is like, if the, okay, no. Oh, I love this. She's doing the world a great service. If you have experienced the Hatchet Lady at Red Rocks, dump him. Dump him.
Oh my gosh.
Dump him.
She's looking out for you.
Dump him. Like, come on. Think about it for more than 2 seconds.
That's your permission slip for today.
That's
If you
always
see the Hatchet Lady at Red
slip every day. I'm the
Rocks.
worst. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I really do.
So you're gonna love this though. In other instances, it's common that she actually flies from the caves either naked
Oh, baller.
or I know, or sometimes riding a horse. And in both instances, she's always wailing and holding a hatchet covered in blood.
Okay. I'm sorry. Is there anything more empowering than the idea of riding a horse naked out of a cave, wielding a blood-soaked hatchet? I'm just asking for a friend.
I'm not gonna lie, when I first started this episode, I did not expect you to become a Hatchet Lady stan by the end of it, but I'm here for it.
I love it. I think all of those options are great. I'm on board with any of them.
I also love that this is probably one of our most unhinged episodes we've had in a while, and it's like 9 a.m.
8:51. Ugh, I'm gonna have to like stay in here and sober up before I leave.
Right? But in other stories, she actually appears headless, which I feel like is just people
We're just
leaning
like
into the hatchet
borrowing
trope.
urban
Yeah,
legends. Yeah, we're
right.
just, now you're
They have
reaching.
to make
She's
it scarier.
already a powerful ass witch all by herself.
Right. But like thinking about like the headless horsewoman of Morrison, I'm kind of down for it too,
I'm
you know.
Very into this story. I'm so sad that I didn't know of it.
Anyway, that's all I had for you on the Hatchet Lady.
I'm happy that I do now. It was great. Thank you.
Maybe next time you're at Red Rocks, leave an offering for the Hatchet Lady.
Honestly, okay.
For Mrs. J.
Everyone should be leaving an offering at the Gate of Red Rocks anyway, because it is a cemetery.
Yeah.
So.
And a sacred site, right? Like, it's been a revered site for thousands of years.
Stop going. And for fuck's sake, if you litter, Hatchet Lady will get you.
We will summon the Hatchet Lady.
Okay, but my most favorite thing to do actually is go hike at Red Rocks at like 5 a.m. in the morning right after a big concert, because it's just you and the raccoons and it's like a real vibe. Sunday, 5 a.m. at Red Rocks listening is like ideal time to be there.
That's really good to know. I should do that sometime.
There you go. With Brittany and with the Hatchet Lady, the permission slip was dump him, was it not?
Yeah.
So, you're welcome.
Know your worth, ladies. Know your worth.
Cheers, witches.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us. Also, we want to connect with our spooky Marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.